Good to see you, Mark.
Amen. Great. Let's talk about this morning. How do we worship God in a world that devalues Him? That you go to work and people tell you, trust yourself, don't trust God. Take matters in your hand, don't rely on God. It devalues the will of God. If you feel anything, just revenge, don't forgive. It devalues anything God. That what we know about God's family and what it's supposed to look like, people fight now over just husband and wife, and we don't even submit to God's will in that. And that's becoming very put in our face on TV and in other places. How do you worship God in a world that devalues Him? That if you get on internet and Google God and you Google what you want to hear, over a period of time, the algorithm takes over. So each time you want to read that information, you get what you want to hear. You never get the whole picture. The algorithm figures exactly what you tend to read, and that's what you tend to get all the time. And then you think, this is true. No, the world devalues God. It doesn't embrace God. God gets in the way of business for some of these people. Christmas is way more merchandise selling than Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Easter is more about the egg than the issue of why are we doing Easter? And the meaning of Christ can get lost in this devaluation that's done gradually in our minds. So a lot of children grow up with tradition, but not understanding where does it emanate from? Who is this Jesus that we worship? What do we talk about? How do we do that? And when you listen to people, they less and less talk about God and more talk about themselves. And then it crosses the other line. When you go to church, instead of about talking about Jesus, we talk more and more about ourselves and less about the God who we worship. And religiosity can take over and turn that into another devaluation point and not focus on how do we worship this God. And rely on Him, depend on Him, and be guided by Him. We'll have to be bold and persuasive. That's our first point. This morning, Alan talked about this chapter. The first part, as he was asking people, which did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? But I will go further down. In verse 8, then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. The Bible says that, but some became stubborn, rejecting the message and publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for the next 2 years, so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jew and Greek, heard about the word of the Lord. That in this world, after Paul had asked them, what baptism did you receive? They say, of John, that was of repentance. Then he tells them they need to repent and get baptized for forgiveness of sins, which they did. He moves on and asks these people. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly. But for 3 months, what did they do? They were refuting God. Refusing. In fact, they went against Jesus and talked badly about Christianity. It is possible that you've been around people that make Jesus look like not a cool thing to do. It's happening in school. It's happening in neighborhood. It's happening in the office. It happens in every aspect. And we think that it's not cool to be a Christian. And yet Paul is speaking so boldly and persuading them. So this is Jesus. It's different. Many people have this illusion that you only become a Christian because you have a problem, or you become a Christian because you can't hack it in life. You're not tough enough. You can't take it on with everyone. So you only have to go to Christ when you're not tough enough. Or no, you go to the source, Jesus Christ. He's the source of everything. He's tougher than anyone. To live as a Christian, you have to be a tough cookie. It's not for the faint-hearted. Anyone can cheat, slip around, lie, smoke, do anything. That's easy to do. That is going with my emotions. That's lying, conniving, and being cunning. Anyone can do that. To be straight in a world that is polluted with half-truths, half-lies, you're going to look like this. If you take these, you have a better body size than that person. All those are lies. That's how the world has devalued the value of God. And many people then go through life unhappy and don't understand that when God says something, it is true, even if 6.9 billion people say otherwise. It's not a democracy. We're socialized to think, but many people are saying it. I have more likes on the internet. It's not a liking issue. It's a principle from the author of life. If we don't get this down, we lose the boldness. We lose the courage to persuade people. Why? Because we think, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just don't get it right. No, you have the truth. You have life. The Bible tells you how to live life. We've got to be bold and talk about that stuff. You know, it is possible that you've lost that passion, that zest, that zeal, that confidence in Jesus. That you hide your convictions. You're blending. You work too hard to blend in. You're not just who you are. You're not a disciple. You're not just, hey, I'm a disciple. This is who I am. This is why I treat my husband like this, my wife like this, my children like this, my friends like this, my single friends, my campus friends, my teen friends, my middle school friends, because I love Jesus. Because in our family, we talk about Jesus. He's different. It's a different life. We want to mix in a little bit. Paul stuck with it. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months. It's sometimes we make it way too much about the numbers and we forget it's about Jesus. 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God, but some became stubborn. Some people will not just listen. It's not about you. Many of us, we talk to someone about God, when they don't listen, we think something's wrong with us. We project it on ourselves. We stop from that day. They treated me so badly. They didn't listen to me. No, people will be stubborn. I have had friends that I talk about Jesus. They love me until I say, you need to be right with God. They say, no, let's not meet tomorrow. And I say to you that your role is not to convert people. Friends, if you're visiting, we don't want you to be converted. We want you to know Jesus and fall in love with Jesus. It's a way of life. It's not a conversion. It's a change in your principles and how you live and how you worship God. It is giving you freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the slavery of mindset that the world puts on you. And so that you may experience God and life like never before. It is something, nothing like what the televangelist tells you. It is in the scriptures. And you got to fall in love with that. And he persuaded them. 3 months, they were stubborn, rejecting the message and publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions on lecture of Hall of Tyrannus. When I lived in Ethiopia, the first 6 months, I would go out, I'd fast 3 times a week, and I'd go out. And this was 95, so the country was coming out of communism back into capitalism. It was really back then. It's a different country today. It's changed a lot. Hardly anyone spoke any English, so I had to learn the language. But I went around and tried to invite people to Jesus in a very orthodox, dominated environment, and the other half was Muslim. And I would talk about Jesus. And every afternoon, I would go to this campus place, and I would sit around and mix with lecturers, friends, and all kinds of people, and just talk about Jesus. I drank so much tea, because I had to find a way to sit in that place and just talk about Jesus. Hardly anyone came about. But we talked about Jesus. Then I met a Jew, and we talked about Jesus with this Jew. And at the end of it, he told me, who are you to tell me about God when My country existed way before even where you came from was there. And I was tempted to get back at him and say, what are you talking about? The Nile was there. You know where the Nile comes from? I'm from that place. And you get sidetracked. But I had to come back to scripture. Side shows and fights of battles and wheels. If you're a Christian only for what God is doing, you may be tested like Paul. You must be a Christian because Jesus is Lord. You must be Christian because God is enough for everything. It's not what we get out of it. And Paul is doing this pretty good. He's talking about in Tyrannus. He went for the next 2 years so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jew, Greek, had the word. You know, that particular year, nothing much happened in terms of we baptized people. They didn't stay along too long, but God was teaching me something. And he was teaching me that it's not about you. You can fast 3 times a week. It's not about you. I lost weight by the time I went back to see my wife, who was not my wife then. The only thing visible on me was my head. I was that, you're like, is that him? Who's that? The head looks like him. It's not about all that stuff. And there's role for fasting. There's role for that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But something happened. Years back, my wife and I went back, and guess what? We were just talking about Jesus and getting out there. I was playing a lot of table tennis and all other things. And before I knew it, 45 people were disciples in a year. But this time it was all about God and less about. I wasn't fasting as much. I was just saying, I'll pray, I'll read my Bible, and I'll get out there. And some of us are caught in that swell of, but I'm doing everything. No, make it about God, not about you and what you're doing. Make it about God, and you'll see what happens. This is clear with Paul. It's about God. It's not about the numbers. It's about God, and things turn around. Does that make sense? And so this is what happened. He was bold. So we have to be bold, but that can only happen because we have a connection with God. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Do you feel that? Do you feel that God is with you? You may begin to check why you're not rooted. Check that. Be bold. Be courageous. The Lord is with you. Being bold is not being obnoxious and rude and entitled. It's stating God's will clearly with respect. Moving on. Be selfless. Bible says, so then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. Background. We are disciples coming out of a Jewish set up some very strict way of eating. Kosher meals and stuff like that, no mixing up. Then you had Gentiles. We can mix up everything. Do anything we're going to do. And the conflict was rife over what was being eaten, sacrificed to idols. And you're still going to eat that stuff. That can't happen. Conflict was rife because predispositions, beliefs that were not necessarily of God, but of tradition, were getting in the way. That is what was happening. Values was creating conflict within the congregation. And so Paul talks to the Romans and said, let's not tear out the word of God because of our own tradition, perceptions, perspectives, and stay so strong on who we are, self-preservation, and break down the word of God. This is very similar to who we are in America. We have legislation that protects the individual rights. That is a good thing. But if we get that way with God, we fight each other. We're not selfless. If you think about it, what makes you upset? I mean, let's take the most mundane thing. Somebody cuts you in traffic. Then can get you upset. Somebody was honking behind me yesterday, I think. And for a while there, I could feel myself whirling from inside. I said, what's wrong? Then I said, hold on. I think the problem is right here. If you think about why we're not selfless and why we don't even give to each other sometimes, it's because we're too focused about what do I gain. It's 101 capitalism. How do we do trade? How do we do something? What do I gain? We are raised like that. Then we come to church and the Bible says, be selfless. But don't tear each other down. Love each other deeply. So that's the question. Have you been selfless this week? Have you been serving in your home? Serving in each other? Serving each other in the office? And he just says, so then let us aim in harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Now the question, have you built anyone up this week? You know, it's very easy to sit down and tell people what's wrong with them, what they're not doing right. That's the easy part. You can look at someone, this is not being done right. Anybody can tell you that. I mean, I was watching the game yesterday, basketball game, and I was rooting for Golden State, and they weren't winning. And I was like, what's wrong with this guy? And I quickly went to say, this is the guy that's not playing properly today. It's easy to point who is not doing the right thing without figuring out why, what's going on. It's just, let's point the wrong guy. We're socialized to blame someone for what's going wrong. We never take responsibility. As how can I be a part of the solution, not part of the problem that's going on here? Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Let us not tear apart the work of God over opinions and over selfish needs and over how we feel like we must be right. It is about what is God's will. Remember, all food is acceptable, but it's wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. Are you kidding me? We live in America. This is my right. No. If you do something that makes another man stumble, it's not good for you to do that stuff. Well, that's the problem. Selflessness thinks about other people as well. It's not just that's the problem. We get stuck in that's the problem. We do nothing to help them to move forward. We don't talk to them. We don't help them to move forward. It's better not to eat meat, drink wine, or do anything else that might cause another believer to stumble. Are there things you're doing to cause another believer to stumble? A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. You lose nothing by helping the other person. Why are we so stuck in this competitiveness sometimes? You lose nothing by helping your workmate know something. I mean, I walked up to this bank. The bank teller did not know what she was doing. I could tell. I was very calm because I didn't feel like I was in a hurry. But I could see the language behind the teller. They were not helping each other. And so I began to make a conversation to relax her because I could see the anxiety. I said, how was your day? And just talking through it. So, this is new. And I said, don't worry about it. I'm fine. But they weren't helping each other. In my mind, I said, you know, they can lose a customer. Me. That means they lose all their business if they continue in that progression. We destroy ourselves when we don't help other people. I know you're afraid if they know they may be more competitive than me. Oh no, God has a plan for you. There is nothing someone can take from you that's given to you by God. Yeah, we have all these fears. Oh, maybe this will happen. You can't control that. There is nothing they can take from you that's given to you by God. If you have any anxieties around that, put it to rest and put it in the eyes of God. If you're liking someone and you're not sure what will happen, if God makes it, it'll happen. Don't worry about who's talking to them right now. It'll happen. We've got to come to that conviction. It doesn't hurt to help another candle light up. Let's help each other. Let's have great one another relationships. Let us be selfless in that area. Let's reach out to one another when people are struggling. Let's love them. Let's not say he's not doing well. No, love them. Help them. Touch them with compassion, with love. How can this get better? Avoid all extremes. Now we say it a lot. Be bold, be selfless. Let's be careful about being extreme about this. The Bible says, you may believe there is nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Let's talk about this. Extremes can hit us. In the name of being bold, in the name of doing some of the things, our rights, our selflessness. So it starts by saying, you may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. There's something that you may believe, and I can bring that up. Sometimes the political climate can go crazy in the country. Yeah, the political climate can go crazy. It's not your place to grab that phone, that computer, and jump in the fray of conversation online. That's not your place. I got to jump in the conversation. No, you don't have to. You're an ambassador of Christ. Remember the country you represent. It's heaven. You're an ambassador of Christ. You got to remember that. And stand there and look at yourself. What am I doing? This is something we have to do well to win souls for Christ. So, what are you doing? But keep it between yourself and God. This is important. You don't have to jump in that. Keep it between yourself and God. Some of those convictions don't have to hit the line. You don't have to walk around spreading that. Spread Jesus. Spread Jesus. You don't have to get in on that stuff. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty or for doing something they have decided is right. But if they're keeping them between them and God. But if you have doubts about this, again, this is all about food, remember. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. There's a scripture that talks about that in Ecclesiastes that talks about extremes. Don't go to any extremes. We need to be balanced spiritually. Yes, we are bold. Yes, we're selfless. But balance spiritually. Let God guide us in that world. Do not go to these extremes. Does that make sense? In other words, understand that and you'll do well spiritually in your walk with God. You can never win an argument with a negative person. They only hear what suits them and listens only to respond. Some of us are caught in line conversations, online conversations that never end. They're always jabbing at you. That's all they do for a living. You're never going to win that argument. Many of us think that you can change people. You really can't. That is God's work. I cannot change you. I can share the message. I can preach the gospel, but the Holy Spirit will convict you. I cannot change you. Only God can do that. And you got to connect with God. Let God change you. If you argue with a negative person, you're never winning. If anything, you're going to get negative yourself. You're going to get a negative charge coming your way. Before you know it, you're also a very negative person. Watch out about the things you're doing. Watch your environment. I just the other day I decided I'm not going to read some news. I'm not going to watch certain things because I can get a negative charge. I asked myself, why am I reacting like this? This is the charge I'm getting from different places. Help others do what is right. We who are strong must be considerate to those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. Remember what we just finished talking about? A few minutes ago, I was talking about it. If it's right in my heart, I can do it. If I take it by faith, I can do that. Hold on. Hey, we who are strong, we must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. You know, sometimes you can look down on people that are sensitive. Like, what's wrong with you? Get over it. No, the Bible says be sensitive. Be sensitive. That's what it says. The idea of get over it is selfish. It's not selfless. Then it says about these things like this, we must not just please ourselves. It's not about ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. I've talked a little bit about building up people today, but we should be doing that. Bible expects you and I to reach out to other people. You know, ask how can you help people? Reach out to people. But I know that culturally, most people don't want to feel like they need help. I mean, I remember once going down, I think it was in DeKalb in the farmer's market. And I came out and I was walking. And this lady had lost her car in the parking. And I looked at her and said, ma'am, are you looking for your car? She said, yes. Can I help you get a car? She said, yeah. But she was afraid still of me. You could sense that she was still afraid of me. I said, okay. What do you have on your car that makes you remember it? What color? We got the car under 1 minute. But here's the deal. I'm paying forward. One day that will be me. She was older. And I thought, when I'm this age, I want someone to help me. I want my kids to know that even though dad is out there, some guy will reach out to him and help him out anyway. Do we reach out to people? Do we help? It's part of being a Christian. In a world that is so afraid of someone who doesn't look like them, they're so afraid. Reach out. Say something. It's not just about you. For even Christ did not live for himself, as scripture says, the insults of those that insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Don't take things personally. I think we take ourselves way too seriously. Way too seriously. I mean, the other day I was doing a Bible study. I was even sharing this with Kinson. And I was realizing we can be so entitled. We take ourselves so seriously. I mean, do you realize you almost think you should wake up and walk? That's a given. No, it's not a given. You can wake up and not walk. It's not a given. Do you realize you think I should get on the road and traffic is moving? It's not a given. Do you realize you go to your account and you think there should be money? It's not a given. They are scammers, they are fraudsters, it can all go. It's not a given. But we are very entitled in that way. It's us. This is the way it's supposed to run. No, God is saying, no. These insults should not affect you. So he goes on to say this. Such things were written in the scripture long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope, encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. It's not a given, but such things were written in scripture long ago to teach us how to work out these things, and scriptures to give us hope, encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. It calls for patience while you're on earth. Amen? While we get to heaven, it's a different ballgame. But while you're here, it calls for patience. And patience is a virtue that you can never say, I've gotten enough. The moment you say, well, I'm tired of waiting, well, you just lost that patience virtue. And I know it's a hard thing. Waiting and waiting and waiting. When will it happen? Well, we're waiting on God. At the proper time. You know, God uses a very interesting language. At the proper time. What is the proper time? At the proper time. Do not pass by a man in need, for you may be the hand of God to him. Church, if we just practice that, there are a lot of people that need us. Some people need to study the Bible. You're the hand of God. Some people just need love, compassion, listening, being there, being understood, being respected. It is our time to begin to show that in the neighborhood, in our workplaces. This is our time to really do that. And sometimes we can just try to fit in way too much like the world, racing, fighting, competing, and not being selfless, helping others do good. And that can kill our families, can kill your life, can kill your friendships, single or compass or teen. You can lose a lot of things just being selfish. I understand that God calls you, yes, to be bold, but not to have extremes, that you may be balanced as you deal with that. We need to be selfless and talk about that stuff. And yes, we need not to be negative. Well, that's time to get finished. Amen. Have a good time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Steve, for a great message. I have a couple of announcements. Is this one working? Can you hear me? Okay. Again, Steve, thank you for a great message. And to our friends that are visiting, again, you are our honored guests. And if you heard something that you agree with, that you'd like to learn more about, I encourage you to grab the person who invited you and ask them to study the Bible with you so you can learn more about it. And on the other hand, if you heard something that you don't agree with, I encourage you to grab the person who invited you and ask them to open the Bible with you so you can learn more about it. Amen. Got a couple of announcements. We want to again talk about Superheroes for Orphans, the walkathon that we're going to have on November 4th at Georgia Tech, 9 a.m. If you need any more information on that, there's a desk outside, right outside the doors here. You can get some more information there. And also, Crossing the Line service, where diversity and racial unity will be discussed with guest speaker and author Michael Burns. That'll be Sunday, November 5th, 2017, right here at 10 a.m. And that's going to be something that's going to be very encouraging. We ask you all to invite your friends to come out. We've got these invitations. We're asking the family group members to pick up two per member of your family group. And we have a box right here at the stage. And again, you can pick up two of these. This is for the Crossing the Line service about diversity and racial unity. And right now we'll pray, and then we'll have a closing song. Father, we thank you so much for giving us this day, Father, waking us up this morning. Father, we thank you for the message that we received, this worship service. We pray that as we leave this place, we can be bold and persuasive in talking about Jesus. We can be selfless with one another. We can avoid all extremes. We can help others do what is right, God. Overall, we pray that as we leave here, we can be better today and tomorrow than we were this morning. God, we thank you so much. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing one final song. Song number 725, I've Been Redeemed.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.